I'm Chad Roberts, and I'm so glad you're joining me on this edition of Awakened to Grace, because today we are in part two of a sermon on being kind to one another. We are studying the one another scriptures of the Bible. We've already seen how we should serve one another. Well, today is part two of be kind to one another. And today I want to use Ephesians 4:32 and Romans 2:4, and I want to show you how biblical kindness always leads to biblical forgiveness. Friends, if there's someone in your life that you have tried over and over to forgive, I'm going to share with you today why, according to God's Word, why you can forgive that person. I hope God uses this in many people's lives. If you've never connected in a deeper way with us, I want to encourage you to download our free mobile app where you can explore hundreds of sermons, absolutely free, sermons just like the one you're going to listen to today. I hope you'll search Awakened to Grace on your App Store or Google Play. Download Awakened to Grace today, and if our sermons are impacting your life, then shoot me a quick email. Let me know who you are, where you're listening from, and what God's doing in your life. I would love to know who you are and how to pray for you. You can always email me at PastorChadRoberts@gmail.com. And even though I'm a blind pastor, my AI devices, they read me every one of the emails that I receive. So send me a message today, PastorChadRoberts@gmail.com. Well, let's get to God's Word as we go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. I hope today the Word of God speaks greatly to your heart as we learn how through kindness we can forgive as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us.
It's a matter of the Holy Spirit producing fruit in our lives. Is He actively doing that in yours? Now, what is the purpose of all of this? When I say that God will use you, God wants to use the kindness that He places in you, what's the ultimate purpose? Just like last week, the ultimate purpose of using the gifts that you've received by serving one another, the ultimate purpose was that God will be glorified. Well, what is the ultimate purpose of kindness? Forgiving one another. Just as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Look with me, go with me quickly to Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Romans chapter 2, verse number 4. To me, this is so powerful. Notice what Scripture says. Should we presume goodness of God, or on the, help me out, what's it, what's that first line? Or do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness? And then look at the last phrase of verse 4. For it is the kindness of God. Now let's pause right there. Who produces biblical kindness in our life? The Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about niceness. I'm talking about a work. I'm talking about a fruit. I'm talking about a grace. I'm talking about a supernatural gift of God. This is exactly what Scripture means when it says, because you are born again, you take on the nature of God. You want to see me? Hang out with my kids for just a little bit. They're just like me. They're just like Sadie. They have our nature. Piper is just like me. The good, the bad, the ugly. She's the most like me. And John Mark's just like me. Emmy and Hudson's more like Sadie. Why are your children like you? Because they have your nature. When we're born again, we have the nature of God. And what is the nature of God? Kindness. And what does God produce in his children? What is the Father doing in his children? He wants to shape. He wants to mold. He wants to deposit. He wants you to live out kindness. Because that's who God is. And watch this. It's his kindness that leads us to repentance. What a remarkable verse. You want to know how to pray for your lost loved ones? You want to know how to intercede and plead for God to save your lost loved ones? You pray Romans 2:4. Oh God, would you let your kindness lead them to repentance? Now that's a powerful verse to pray. The kindness of God leads us to repentance. So the next time someone asks you, how did you get saved? Don't say, well, I prayed this prayer. Don't say, well, I was at church, or I was at vacation Bible school, or I was in Sunday school, or I was with my parents, or I was young, or I was old, or I was... No, don't say where you were or what you did. The next time someone asks you, how did you get saved? You smile and quote Romans 2:4. The kindness of God led me to repentance. And that's biblically how I got saved. Amen? And it's what will save your loved ones. It's what will save your children and your grandchildren or your spouse. It's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. Now, I want to draw a biblical link between Romans 2:4 into Ephesians 4:32. Now, what has happened? Because the kindness of God led us to repentance, led us into forgiveness. Now, Galatians 5:22, when the Holy Spirit produces kindness in my life, what's going to be the result? Ephesians 4:32. As I'm kind to one another, as I'm tender-hearted to one another, then what's going to be the overflow? What's going to be the result? I'm going to be forgiving toward others. Because the same kindness that God led me to repentance is the same kindness the Holy Spirit's producing in me to forgive those who wrong me. Amen. I don't know who's hurt you. I don't know who's wronged you. I don't know who walked out on you or who violated you or who stole your innocence. But the Word of God says we can forgive one another. A young man came to me a while back, and he's in his late 20s. I had eyesight at that time, and he came and said, Chad, I'm getting more serious about following Jesus. And he said, if I'm going to really follow Jesus, he said, do I have to forgive my father? And he shared some things with me that his father had done, and he was a... And I said, brother, the Bible demands forgiveness. It doesn't suggest it. It doesn't ask you to consider it. It doesn't put conditions on it. Forgive unless this happened. Forgive unless this was the case. The Bible puts no conditions. The Bible simply demands. You must forgive. And I said, brother, as hard as it is, you can honor your father and mother. That doesn't mean that you agree. That doesn't mean you appreciate. That really don't even mean that you accept what they did to you. What it means is that you look past them and you look to the Lord. And you say, in faith, I'm going to obey your word. And I said, brother, you have to forgive him. I can't remember now if it was a week or 2 weeks went by, and the brother came back. We met back in the counseling office, and he was grinning from ear to ear, and he said, Chad, I forgave my dad. I said, praise God. I said, how did he receive it? And to my complete surprise, this brother explained to me his dad died several years earlier. This young man went to the graveside of his father and he forgave him at his grave. I thought about him this morning when they were singing that song, Whole Heart. And that line in that song that said, look where my chains are now. You know what Ephesians 4:32 will do for you? See, that person that you don't think you can forgive, that person that hurt you so deeply that you don't think they deserve to be forgiven, let me tell you, they're not the ones bound up. They're not the ones with chains wrapped around them. You are. And let me tell you what Ephesians 4:32 is. It is a massive Holy Ghost-filled bolt cutter that will cut the chains off of you today. Amen. If you'll allow it. If you'll let God do his supernatural work within you. And don't ask yourself the wrong question. See, we ask ourselves the wrong question. We'll say things like, well, but do they deserve to be forgiven? Friends, that's the wrong question. That's the wrong question. Well, will it change anything if I forgive it? That's the wrong question. Here's the right question. What has God commanded me to do? What must I do to follow Jesus? What does God expect? What does he require? What does he ask for? And friends, I'm telling you right now, and I'm telling you by the authority of God's word, I'm telling you in the power of the Holy Spirit, you have not been able to forgive whoever it is all of these years because you've tried to do it in your own strength, and you can't. That's why it is a work of God. That's why it is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. You cannot do it apart from the grace of God. But what would happen if you invited the grace of God in? What would happen if you said, God, I need your grace to do this, and by faith and in obedience to the word of God, for the will of God, I choose to forgive. I'm telling you, Ephesians 4:32 will bolt cut the chains off of your past. I promise you it will. So who do you need to forgive today? What does Scripture say? Be kind to one another. What's that mean? It means that God does a supernatural work in our lives. It means that the Holy Spirit is active in our heart. It means that God is doing things in us that we cannot do in our own flesh, in our own humanness. If that's a word. Is humanness a word? Harold, is it a word?
Humanity.
Humanity. That's better, right? What we can't do in our own humanity. There we go. It's amazing I speak for a living. It shocks me sometimes. What does God want to do in you now? That maybe because of lack of knowledge, maybe because you've never seen these scriptures, maybe because you've never grown spiritually the way you're growing right now, that God couldn't have done a few years ago. Let God work in you. Because what God wants to produce in you is far greater than anything you'll ever be able to do on your own. Amen. And I know you've been hurt. Listen, since 2017, I've done over 550 counseling sessions. I hear tragic things all the time. I hear terrible things, awful things. And I'm not saying that it justifies it, and I'm not saying that you just simply accept it. What I am saying is that you take the mirror of God's word and you ask yourself, did I deserve the grace of God? Friends, the answer is no. So when you ask, does this person deserve the grace of God? God will help you do things you never dreamed you could do. And let me tell you again, and you've heard this, but I'm just going to reiterate it here. Bitterness and unforgiveness is like drinking poison, hoping it kills the other person. It's the same logic as drinking poison, hoping it kills them or hurts them. No. It only hurts you. And that's why God's remedy, that's why God's provision is kindness. Because the same kindness that was in the heart of God that led you to repentance is the exact same kindness that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit that's working in your heart right now. And it's the exact same kind of kindness that leads you to forgive those who have most wronged you. So what do you need to let go of today? What do you need to put behind you today? What do you need to actively forgive today? That when you come in here next week, you can really say, look where my chains are now. They've fallen in Jesus' name. Amen? Let's bow our heads today. I don't know what God desires to do in your heart right now, but I believe the Holy Spirit is showing you. Why don't you be quick to hear and quick to obey the Holy Spirit? If there is any bitterness, see, we didn't read the verse above, verse 31, Ephesians 4:31. Paul says, take all bitterness, take all wrath, rage, and all forms of malice. Get these things out of your life. Preached a series of messages a while back called Emotions That Destroy, and we preached out of those verses about anger and rage. Let go of those things and replace it with tenderness. Replace it with kindness. You know, some years ago, when we moved into this building, we didn't have anything. And I was a young man in my early 20s, and I didn't have any money and didn't have anything. And I went to Dalton, Georgia, and I bought the cheapest carpet that they made to put in this building. The cheapest. They would show me a carpet and tell me the price, and I'd say, nope. What you got cheaper than that? I didn't have anything. Did it solely by faith. But you know what happened after several years? That carpet began to wear out. It was stained and it was ugly. Oh, it was the worst carpet. I still just shudder thinking about it. It was so ugly, so stained. And, you know, somebody would spill a cup of coffee and it was so cheap you couldn't even get the stain out. That's how cheap of carpet it was. It was the ugliest carpet you'll ever see. And finally, when the Lord gave us the opportunity to replace it, we ripped it all out. I'd never been so happier than the day that we ripped out all that old nasty carpet. But you know what we had to do? We had to replace it. We couldn't just rip out the old, right? We had to put the new down. And see, that's where some of you are stuck, my brother, my sister. Some of you go, well, I can't let go of the bitterness, or I can't let go of the hurt. I can't let go of what happened. But see, brother, sister, this is where you're stuck. You don't just let go of it, you replace it. You put something in its place. And what the Bible says is let go of bitterness and let go of rage and let go of anger and wrath and malice, but you're going to replace it with kindness. You're going to replace it with tenderness. You're going to replace it with forgiveness. And I'm telling you, God will renew you. You know that word renew in Colossians is where we get our English word renovate. God wants to renovate you today. But see, here's the thing. When we bought this beautiful carpet, we didn't put it down over the old stuff, did we? It had to be ripped out. And God's not going to renovate you and let kindness come and let forgiveness come and tenderness come and you still have bitterness and you still hold on to wrath. No, God has to rip it out. Will you let God do the process of ripping it out of your life? Oh, it'll hurt. Absolutely. It won't be easy. It'd be tough. But friend, what God wants to replace is so much more beautiful. So much healthier. Oh, you'll be so much of a healthier person and Christ follower. So today, all over the building, today those watching online or listening online, whoever it is that you need to forgive, I want you to pray right now and I want you to say, God, grant me the grace to forgive them. See, realize it's not of your own doing. Realize that it's not of your own willpower. It's not of your own flesh. God, grant me the grace. And now put your faith in action and say in Jesus' name, I forgive that person, whoever it is. Don't matter how many decades ago or how recent, I forgive them in Jesus' name. The same grace that you forgave me with, God, I extend to them. And I let go. I let go of it. And I trade it in for kindness, for tenderness, for forgiveness. So God, help your people today. Take these jars of clay. Take these vessels that's been broken and damaged and hurt, mishandled, and put us back on the potter's wheel. And shape us, oh God. Mold us, oh God. You are the potter and we are the clay. Do your great work within us. The work that we don't have the ability to do of our own selves. The work that we cannot do in our humanity. The work we cannot do in our own strength or by our own will or might. But let your Spirit, oh God, do your work. Let your Spirit produce in us the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And make us the family of God that glorifies the Son of God, that honors Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So right now, Lord, with this newfound freedom, with this newfound forgiveness, we worship you, Lord Jesus, right now. We worship you with it. We worship you with it. Cut the chains. Cut the chains in Jesus' name. And we worship you. We worship you, Son of God. We worship you. We worship you. In the mighty and the powerful and the beautiful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Kindness. Amen.